Chapter 9. Homecoming.
Juice settled on one corner of what used to be his lawn. His once pristine carpet of green had been trampled into little more than a muddy field containing only a few tufts of scraggly grass. His azaleas and rhododendron were ruined, and his magnificent maple tree was a scorched post. Juice's despair evaporated, however, when his three beautiful children ran toward him yelling, "Daddy!" His heart sank a moment later as they circled back into the cave, yelling over their shoulders, "More ribbits, please!" "Do you know how hard it is for someone my size to catch those microscopic long-eared rats?" he shouted. "I've already brought you nearly 100. How about I just catch one mastodon and tear it into 1,000 ribbit-sized pieces for you?" The poor, tired dragon heard, "Mom says," echo out of the cave entrance and shouted, "Never mind, it was just a suggestion," as he flapped his weary wings and began another hunting run. Elisa stopped the baby dragons just after they entered the cave and warned them to be quiet. Stavius was doing something with Safe and needed all his concentration. The three girls and three young dragons silently crept into the main chamber of Juice's cave and dropped their jaws in wonder. Safe was floating above Juice's nest, surrounded by a web of light rising out of the ground. She appeared to be wrapped in thick coils of energy. Some were electric blue, while others were red, green, gold, or silver. A tall, older woman stood next to Stavius, apparently giving him instructions. Stavius dropped his left hand after her latest remark, and a thin, purple tendril of energy rose from the ground as he lifted his arm. He spread his fingers and twisted his body, causing the tendril to fork and spread down Safe's wings. The purple energy spread over her wing bones and across the skin and feathers which shaped her wing. Safe released a moan of pleasure and pain as he did this, and the three young dragons realized he was somehow healing their mother. "Who's that woman?" Nariana asked Janice, who was also standing by the cave entrance. "That's Terra, Stavius's aunt," he replied. "She showed up just after you left and is trying to teach Stavius how to use magical power." "I thought Stavius couldn't do magic," said Versera. "You're right. He can't do magic, but he can manipulate magical energy in ways I've never seen before," answered Janice with envy. Safe opened one large eye, saw the newcomers, and sighed. "My babies!" "Just a minute, Safe," cautioned Stavius. "Let me untangle this mess before you scurry over for hugs and kisses." The threads of energy receded back into the ground, and Safe slowly lowered onto the nest as they faded. "Thank you, Stavius and Terra. I think I'm strong enough to hug my children now," smiled Safe as she climbed out of the nest and stood in front of her brood. She beamed and said, "Mintaka, Alnilam, and Alnitak, you're as beautiful as I had hoped. I am the happiest dragon in the world right now." "Thank you, Mom," said Sarah, "but who are Mintaka, Alnilam, and Alnitak?"
"I'm Mintaka," Elisa's dragon brightly replied, "and you are Alnilam and Alnitak, although I don't know which of you is which."
"Well, I don't know either, but my name is Nari," said Nari.
"And I'm Sarah," added Sarah.
"No, you can't do that," said Elisa. "Those names are already taken, and it would confuse everyone."
"Told you," Versera said to Nariana.
"I know, it is so awesome," answered Nariana as she fist-bumped her friend.
"Children, your names were selected when you were conceived. You are Alnitak," said Safe as she nodded at Nari, "and you are Alnilam. My decision is 100 years old, and it is final," she finished with a nod towards Sarah.
"Well, you can decide whatever you want, Mom, but my name is Sarah. I can't even pronounce Alnilam," yelled Sarah.
"Yeah, an Alnitak sounds like a boy's name," groaned Nari.
"Your names are Alnilam and Alnitak," insisted Safe. "You have had those names for a century, and I will not allow you to change them."
"What if they keep their names but also use nicknames, like the way Betel calls himself Juice?" offered Janice, attempting to be diplomatic.
Safe lunged at Janice with a roar so loud that several rocks fell from the cave's ceiling. His life would have ended at that moment if her children hadn't raced between them.
"Mommy, why can't we have nicknames like Daddy?" asked Sarah.
You can always call us the A-names, but our friends will call us Nari and Sarah, added Nari.
Yeah, that way the names you gave us will be extra special because only you will use them, added Sarah.
Please, Mommy!
Both begged together. Safe heard laughter from behind her and swung around to confront Tara, who was sitting on a rock, thoroughly enjoying the exchange.
What do you find so funny? Bellowed Safe, and a few more rocks shook, but remained clinging to the ceiling.
You've given birth to teenagers, chuckled Tara. I'm sorry for laughing. I don't have any children, but while this must be so difficult for you, it is also incredibly funny.
Safe sighed and turned back toward her newborn children as a voice from the cave entrance tentatively asked, May I come in?
No!
Came four dragon voices in unison.
Oh, sorry, Juice dejectedly replied.
Safe quickly explained, It isn't that we don't want you in here, Juice. The problem is that this cave is already cramped with four dragons and six humans. You just wouldn't fit. We'll come outside. Safe rested at the cave entrance, enjoying the late afternoon sun for the first time in a century. She was still weak and injured, but happy for the first time she could remember as she watched her family play. Her three babies were wrestling with their father down by the tree line. He was on his back as they jumped, bit, and scratched him in mock attacks. Every now and then his fake howls of anguish sounded a bit too real, and the children would back off for a minute until he winked at them and they attacked again. Juice wasn't very bright, but she truly believed that he would be a caring and loving father, which were rare traits in dragon males. Safe looked at the three girls who had bonded with her newborns. It hurt that she was unable to imprint upon her babies, but she knew she had made the right decision. They would have died within minutes of hatching without someone there, and the blending between human and dragon minds, while unanticipated, might be something her species needs to grow and evolve. She only felt marginally guilty about not warning the girls of her plan, but what teenage girl, dragon or human, would agree to such an idea? This was an odd collection of dragons and humans from two worlds, but it was her family, and she felt content. She knew her contentment wouldn't last, but she had hoped she would have been able to savor it for more than 2 minutes. "We have to leave tomorrow," Tara said to the girls as they also watched Juice romp with the babies.
You guys go. I'm through fulfilling prophecies, said Narayana.
Me too, agreed Rosera. I just want to hang out here with the dragons.
Deciding whether or not to abandon your mission is up to you, although I think that quitting is foolish, said Tara with resignation. We still need to leave tomorrow, though. The remaining Septumcalus families have been focused on recovering from their recent disaster, but they have also almost unblocked the bridge. Their army will flow across as soon as it is open, and these dragon caves will be their first stop in their search to avenge the destruction of one of their castles. Elisa snapped her head toward Tara and exclaimed,
That's no good. Safe is too weak to travel, and the babies are too young. We can't abandon them. I won't abandon them.
There might be another way, but we'd need Stavius, and I'm not sure he's up to it, suggested Tara.
Well, then, we just need to convince him, said Narayana, as she stood and dusted bits of grass off her pants.
Where is he, anyway?
He's down the hill, trying to make sense out of what I taught him today, answered Tara. I'm afraid he might not be much use to us until he accepts it.
Well, you guys try to come up with an alternative plan while I go down there and talk some sense into that boy, replied Narayana, who strode down the hill before anyone could stop her.
Narayana found Stavius sitting on a rock near the bottom of the hill and shouted,
Come on, Stavius, stop feeling sorry for yourself and give us a hand. We have work to do.
Stavius didn't even turn around as he said,
Go away, Narayana. I'm not in the mood, and I'm not the person you need anyway.
Well, not according to Tara. She says you're the only solution to our problem. Besides, why are you sulking? That was some incredible healing magic you performed earlier. Even Janice was impressed, and you know how he considers himself to be the best magician in the world, Narayana joked as she sat beside him.
You're mistaken, Narayana, sighed Stavius. I didn't do any magic earlier. At most, all I did was apply a sort of bandage to Safe. I can't do magic.
What are you talking about? I saw an entire dragon wrapped in healing energy floating off the ground, and then I saw the same dragon, who could barely breathe this morning, stroll outside to watch her kids play. Janice is right. The best healers in the world couldn't have done that.
You don't get it. That wasn't magic. I can't do magic. I never could do magic, and now I know that I never will be able to do magic. I'm a freak, cried Stavius before putting his head in his hands.
Narayana put her arm around the sobbing boy and sat with him, not knowing what to say or do. She began to feel awkward after a few minutes and removed her arm while she came up with approach after approach of how to cheer him up. She eventually gave up and said, I don't know what to say to you, Stavius. I just don't understand why someone who just performed the most amazing magic I've ever seen in my life would feel like a failure. I said I was a freak, not a failure. But you're right that I'm one of those too, groaned Stavius. And for the last time, that was not magic.
Well, then what was it? Screamed Narayana in frustration. It was just magical energy, said Stavius. Magic? Magical energy? You say 12, I say a dozen. What's the difference? Asked Narayana. Stavius wasn't making any sense, and she needed to get him back to the group.
Magic is the ability to use magical energy to perform useful things like transformation, enhancement, and illusion. I can't do any of that. All I can do is direct the flow of magical energy. I'm nothing more than an animal. No, I'm not even an animal. I'm a monster, cried Stavius as he burst into uncontrollable sobs. The two sat in silence for several more minutes before Narayana stood up and offered Stavius her hand.
Well, Stavius, I don't pretend to understand what you're talking about.
But even if you really are a monster, you seem like a pretty good guy, and we need your help.
Terra claims the Septumkalan army is preparing to cross the bridge tomorrow, and that we're all going to die unless they're stopped. She and Janice have a plan which involves you and your monstrous abilities, so I'd view it as a personal favor if you would put your self-pity on hold until after you help us stop them. Stavius looked up at this strange and demanding 13-year-old girl, wiped his dripping nose on his sleeve, and took her hand. All right. Let's go see what they have in mind, he grumbled as he stood to follow her up the hill. The sun was low in the sky by the time they reached Juice's front yard. Safe, Janice and the other two girls were coaxing the dragon babies into Juice's cave for the night. The three infants had collapsed on top of Juice and all four had fallen asleep. They rousted Juice once safe and the children were nestled in Juice's nest, and Janice outlined the plan. The idea was to have Stavius use his abilities to redirect the magical energy surrounding the bridge and disrupt the shield like he did when he accidentally destroyed the marketplace. Juice would attack and destroy the bridge once its protection was removed. Narayana and Versera were enthusiastic supporters of this plan, with Narayana claiming, I might not be keen on fulfilling the prophecy, but I'm all in for saving our skins while causing some pain and suffering for the seven families. Terra didn't think Stavius had enough strength or skill to disable the bridge's defenses. She noted that disabling a heavily fortified military defense system was far different than destroying the supports for an unprotected building under construction. Juice said he didn't have enough energy either. He was physically tired from catching hundreds of ribbits all day and magically drained because he had lent his rejuvenating nest to Saif and his kids. I'm sorry, but I just don't have it in me, he lamented. Janice's plan no longer seemed feasible, and no one had any other ideas. The depressed group sat in a silent circle for several minutes until Stavius spoke up. Oh, what the heck, he sighed. They'll slaughter us tomorrow if we don't do anything. We might as well give it a try. Perhaps we'll get lucky. Narayana, Versera, and Alisa perked up, but Terra and Juice seemed unconvinced.
Perhaps you missed the part where I said I didn't have it in me, said Juice. I might be able to fly there, but I don't have enough magic in me to roast a marshmallow, much less torch a bridge. I'm empty, dude.
I can help with that, laughed Stavius, who was feeling better. And you're probably right that the bridge shield is too much for me, Terra, but what do I have to lose? I can either die fighting tonight or be killed when I surrender tomorrow.
Okay, now that's what I'm talking about. What can we do? Asked Versera.
Well, I doubt they'll leave me alone while I try to destroy their bridge shield, grinned Stavius. I could use some help keeping the Septumbicum army from killing me while I do my thing, if Juice is up to carrying you over there.
You aren't listening, guys.
complained Juice. I keep telling you, I'm pooped. I could barely fly myself there, much less provide taxi service for a half dozen humans. All right, then let's get you juiced, buddy. Everyone else get ready to kick some septumculum tush, said Stavius as he patted his reptilian friend on the neck. Janice and the girls immediately began transforming sticks and rocks into weapons as Stavius and Juice flew to one of the birthing chambers. What's up with Stavius? Narayana asked Terra as they were preparing for battle. He claims he's a monster. I'm worried about my nephew, Terra admitted. He's depressed, and I'm afraid his recklessness is more suicidal than courageous. Stavius didn't handle what I taught him today very well. What did you teach him? Asked Elisa. It really isn't my place to tell, sighed Terra. Listen, we're about to go into battle with a potentially suicidal guy who thinks he's a monster. We have a right to know who we're fighting alongside, argued Versera, as Narayana nodded in agreement. Very well, sighed Terra as she sat down, but you could never tell him that I shared this. You see, Staven, Stavius's mirth host, was never able to perform even the most straightforward act of magic. He was considered a freak, taunted, labeled an inhuman animal, and abandoned by his own family. He eventually chose to accept his handicap and, using more personal strength than anyone I know, found a way to live a meaningful life. Even so, a part of him always believed that his lack of magical ability was merely a handicap which he might overcome someday. Today, I explained to him why he will never be able to perform magic, and it confirmed to him what everyone else told him his entire life. He is not human.
Wait a minute. Stavius is obviously human. Just look at him, argued Versera.
Yeah, and look at how he healed safe today, added Elisa. That was the most amazing display of magic I've ever seen. That wasn't magic, and in fact, helping safe was what convinced Stavius that he isn't human, replied Terra.
Stavius told me the same thing down in the woods, but it doesn't make any sense, said Narayana. Why isn't healing safe magic?
Because he can't use magic as we do, answered Janice. Stavius can't create an illusion or make a stone glow or even clean himself without soap and water. He can control the flow of magical energy, but he can't do anything with it.
Excellent, Janice, Terra agreed. Human beings absorb magical energy into our bodies, and we can use this energy in a variety of ways. Stavius is built differently.
Stavius cannot use magical energy, and his body doesn't even store very much of it. Instead, he continually draws magical power directly from the planet, although he never realized this until I explained it to him today. He can only control the flow of magical energy. He accidentally destroyed the marketplace building by creating a short circuit to Mirth, which rapidly drained the structure's magical power. Janice is a powerful magician, and he can use warrior magic to hurl thunderbolts until he is wasted, but Stavius can draw energy from Mirth and continuously blast energy if he is in a magic pool. I taught Stavius how to focus his abilities to draw magical power out of the planet and envelop safe in its energy. He far exceeded anything I imagined and massaged her body with various forms of magical power. He didn't perform any healing magic. He just brought the power to her, and her body accepted what he brought to heal herself. No human being can do this, and frankly, neither can any animal. I've only come across a handful of beings in all my travels who can drain magical energy from one source and drive it into another. Stavius has met them too, and suddenly realized what he is for the first time. He is a wonderful boy who considers himself a monster, as would most of the rest of the world if they ever learned his secret. The girls had a new level of respect for Stavius after Terra's story, but still didn't fully understand. Janice, however, appeared to be three shades paler than usual. Well, strange magical abilities or not, I say he's still human, said Narayana. I'm not sure I'd date him, but I'm happy to fight beside him. The others nervously laughed and continued their preparations. Juice crash-landed onto the hillside beside Nari's birthing chamber and groaned, Listen, man, I don't know why you made me bring you here, but that's it. I'm drained. You're walking home.
Oh, stop complaining, Juice, chuckled Stavius. You'll feel a million times better once I re-energize your stones.
Dude, what is with you guys? I'm married, I'm not interested, and I'm not that kind of a dragon, cried Juice in alarm.
Stavius just laughed and explained, I'm going to recharge your gastroliths, your dragonstones, with magical energy, you newt. I need a deep magic well with good energy flow to it. The closest one is your nest, but that one is already occupied. The next closest ones are where you buried your eggs, which are all conveniently vacant.
Oh, okay, said Juice with more than a little suspicion in his tone. What do we do? Rocks can take weeks or months to recharge. Is this going to hurt? I'm not into pain, you know.
I don't know, big guy, but it might smart a bit. I've never done it before, admitted Stavius. I just need to put one hand on your neck, near your gizzard, and use the other to reach into the magic well to transfer the power. Are you ready to try?
I guess so, but be gentle, answered Juice as he gingerly leaned towards Stavius. It was apparent that this giant, terrifying dragon was scared.
Stavius placed his right hand on Juice's neck, reached down into the hole where Nari's destroyed eggshell rested with his left, and began to draw out Mirth's energy. He needed to recharge the dragon's massive magical batteries quickly, but tried to limit the flow so as not to hurt his big friend. A moment later, Juice screamed and leaped away, causing huge arcs of energy to spark between Stavius's extended arm and his neck. Stavius gasped in horror when he saw the hand-shaped scorch mark on Juice's neck.
Oh man! Oh man! Oh man! Juice screamed as he hopped around thrashing his massive body in a convulsive dance which knocked over trees and crushed boulders. I am so sorry, gasped Stavius as he crawled out of the birthing chamber after Juice slowed down.
He had dived into the safest place he could find to avoid being crushed by Juice's explosive dance.
Sorry, roared Juice. That was awesome, dude! Do the other side! Do the other side!
But the burn mark, Stavius began.
Nah, don't worry about that little scuff. I'm covered in 100% dragon skin, you know. That little thing will dust off in a day or two. You are amazing. Do it again on the other side. Don't hold back this time, laughed Juice as he brought his head close to the boy.
Okay, if you're sure you can handle it, chuckled Stavius in disbelief.
Oh, mama, I can handle it. Bring it on, baby. The juice is back, roared the dragon as Stavius repeated the procedure on the other side of his neck.
Juice rushed onto his front lawn with a perfect high-speed landing, shouting, Who's up for destroying a bridge? The rest of the group required a few moments to pick themselves off the ground before answering. Juice's landing might have been flawlessly executed, but he arrived with such force that the downdraft from his wings knocked everyone onto the field and scattered their carefully arranged supplies everywhere.
What's all this racket? You're going to wake the children,
hissed Safe as she stuck her head out of the cave.
Oh, honey, this guy is awesome! I mean, amazing! I mean, incredible! Crowed Juice. I haven't felt this good in decades, and he did it in just a few minutes. I'm telling you, if we ever have a baby boy, we're naming him Stavius.
Safe looked at Juice in shock and said, Who said anything about having any more children, Juice?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean... I mean, it was just a figure of speech.
Stuttered the thoroughly embarrassed male dragon.
Well, you are looking pretty fine with that new body glow, answered Safe with a sly smile.
Go destroy that bridge and stop the invading army. Maybe we can discuss it in a decade or two when the kids are older. Safe turned and withdrew back into the cave, but made sure to include a provocative tail swish as she left. Juice stood frozen in the yard with his mouth open in disbelief.
Dude, did she just agree to mate with me? He whispered to Stavius.
I think she agreed to consider it, the boy replied.
Oh man, this is the best day ever, the dragon gleefully exclaimed as he jumped in the air. I'm serious. The first boy we have will be named Stavius. You are my number one friend, dude.
Well, you and Nariana, he added with a concerned glance in Nariana's direction. But we already have a kid named Nari, so we're good, right? Nariana laughed and said, We'll talk after we destroy that bridge. Do you think you can carry us all?
Kid, right now, I could carry this whole mountain. Climb on, roared the dragon. I said keep it down out there, came an angry voice from underground.
Sorry, dear,
Juice whispered as he and everyone except Terra climbed onto Juice's back. Terra claimed she was too old for fighting and that she needed to make preparations for the morning's departure.